Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I don't even want to get into it. Anyway, I do want to get into the Jet deal.
Yeah.
You know, we'll talk about little Rangers a little bit later on. But the Jet deal is a good deal, man. You know, because if you are a person that believes that a guy should earn his stripes, a guy that should go through the process of becoming a coach and learning every facet of becoming a coach before he's handed the keys to a franchise, this is your man. This is the guy that has done that. This is the guy that, if you listen to the ex-players that have played for him, if you listen to the people that he has worked for, whether it be Pete Carroll or Kyle Shanahan, you listen to Gus Bradley, you listen to everybody talk about who he is as a coach, he deserves this opportunity. Now, I believe, and I said this way back when, that that's the kind of guy that the Jets need. They need a guy that brings energy in here that is going to absolutely light the building on fire.
Yeah.
And he is going to do that. He has a presence about him. The more you read about him, the more you appreciate about him. I tweeted out a story about his 9/11 experience, about how his brother was in World Trade Center 2. And the South Tower, and how his parents were trying to find his brother, and he was working for a bank at that time, and then how that changed his life. That whole thing changed his life, where he wanted to go back and do something that he loved, and what he loved more than anything was football. He was a tight end at Northern Michigan. He loved the game of football. They have a very good history of football at that school. You know, he basically got involved at Michigan State. He got involved at Central Michigan. He went to Georgia. He's been at all these levels, and the one thing that is the constant around him is the energy that he brings to his teams. Now, interestingly enough, and I didn't know this, you know, before games, he runs stadium steps. He's one of those guys.
Looks like one of those guys.
Yeah, so it's going to be, and he looks like one of those guys.
Yeah, push-up guy and for every point that the defense gives up, something like that I could see him doing.
Yeah. It's going to be, I mean, I personally, I love when coaches get jobs for the first time, and they get an opportunity to get the job that they've been working for their entire life. And he's a committed guy. He, you know, I'm not saying that Adam Gase wasn't committed. I'm not saying that Adam Gase didn't appreciate what it takes to be a coach in the league. He just didn't have the right personality for this franchise and came off of, you know, a bad run in Miami, which basically turned the fan base essentially against him. And then that first press conference was ridiculous. So this guy is completely different. He is energy personified. He will be involved with the entire roster. I know the Jets are ecstatic that they got him. I know that he was wanted by so many other franchises.
Six interviews at least, right?
That's right. And he comes with you know, everything that you want from an assistant coach now ascending to the head coach job. So I personally was rooting for him early on, and he must have knocked the interview out of the park, and it seems like Joe Douglas fell in love with the guy. And how could you not fall in love with a guy whose defense has been one of the best defenses in football? And a lot of that, yeah, is players, because San Francisco has the right players.
But look at this year with the injuries, and they were still fourth in the league.
Exactly. And he knows, you know, defense is energy. It's hustle. It's get after the ball. You know, you can have all the schemes.
It's a mindset, Boomer. That's what it is.
You could have all the schemes you want. If you don't have the players and you don't have the intensity on defense, you're not going to be a very good defensive team. He brings intensity. He brings scheme. And he will also bring Mike LaFleur, it looks like, as his offensive coordinator, which is the younger brother of Matt LaFleur. And, you know, this is this whole Shanahan off-tackle running game, bootlegs, play actions, wide receiver screens, all that kind of stuff. And he, too, is a young man. So you got a young coach.
Yep.
He's got energy. He's got presence. And he's got a history of wherever he's been, his teams have performed.
So I said for many weeks that the Jets needed someone where He steps into the building. You know who he is. He's in charge. This was Rich Kotite to Bill Parcells 2.0. But as it became clear over this process that that person wasn't coming to the Jets, you know, whether it was going to be Urban Meyer gets hired in Jacksonville yesterday or Bill Cowher, who has not come out of retirement since he did retire many years ago from the Pittsburgh Steelers, or getting another coach via trade like a Sean Payton, when it became evident that that wasn't going to happen in this hiring cycle for the Jets or really anybody else outside of the Jacksonville Jaguars, this guy was the assistant that was at the top of the list. And the top of the list for the Jets, the Jet fans, it's kind of what they needed. And coming out of an era, you always look for... So the Jets had a defensive head coach in Todd Bowles. They wanted an offensive mind in Adam Gase. The Adam Gase era, they came out of it not wanting to go back to a defensive guy. What they wanted was the opposite of what Adam Gase was as a leader and, quite frankly, a man. I mean, he is someone that just did not radiate any sort of positivity, or you couldn't really buy into the Adam Gase thing at all. I mean, his press conferences, his look, I mean, everything about it was just horrendous. And the Jets needed somebody who was going to light a spark. And everything you hear from the players, and this is something that you've said before, when either a coach leaves or a high-profile like player like Jamal Adams leaves, you know, you look to see what people are going to say about him. And right off the bat, Richard Sherman tweeting out, "You guys got a great one. Congratulations." Kyle Shanahan, before the hiring process, "If he doesn't get a job here, I don't know what anybody's looking at. I mean, he's going to hire the best staff. He knows every side of the ball. The guy is great." So, you know, there are so many things about him that when you hear and you see from the people he's worked with, too, on top of it, you know, this isn't like people in, you know, when Adam Gase got hired, there were Dolphin fans calling up being like, "Good luck. Good luck."
That's not going to be the case.
No,
here.
Not at all. I mean, right now, and everything could go sideways, especially with the Jets. But today, it really does feel like
great.
The right guy. It does.
It does feel great. And it's I know that when the Islanders brought in Barry Trotz, it felt great to the Islander fan. You know, I think, you know, it was interesting when Brian Cashman, you know, let go of Joe Girardi, I think Yankee fans were really worried, you know, and I think Yankee fans have now settled in with their manager. We always worry about who the leader of the team is, even though maybe baseball managers aren't quite as important as football head coaches. But I do, you know, there's something right about this. And the most important thing is that Joe Douglas feels like it's right, because he and Joe Douglas are going to have to work together. And the one thing I will tell you is both of them have the line of scrimmage is the most important thing to them. That is the most important thing. It's one of the reasons why San Francisco's defense has been so good since Rob got there, was because of their draft picks and because of who their defensive line was. You know, Joe Douglas is a former offensive lineman. He, you know, the 49ers traded for Trent Williams from the Washington football team. I'm like, you could see that these guys see the game in the same way, which is going to be really important moving forward, because they both now are tied together with 5-year contracts. I guess Joe has got 5 years left, and Rob Saleh's got 5 years. Year deal.
This is it. So 5 years with both of these guys. Joe Douglas seems to have hired the coach that he wanted, which is something that we wanted to see from the Jets. Let Joe Douglas go out and get his guy. You know, the coordinator carousel thing is something that has concerned me. There's many examples of guys who have succeeded. But, you know, with the candidates this year, I think most football fans, you know, knew exactly who Rob Saleh was. You know, it's not like Arthur Smith, I got to Google to see what he looks like, or Brandon Staley all of a sudden becomes a candidate because of the number one defense.
You know who Eric Bieniemy is.
Right, you know who Eric Bieniemy is.
You know Brian Daboll.
Yeah, but I just got to really learn about him more through this season. But Rob Saleh was a guy that you knew because of the look. And also, you know, when the 49ers would get off the field and a 3-and-out, he would be at like the 50-yard line jumping up and down. I mean, I remember watching that playoff game last year in the divisionals when the Vikings lost to the 49ers. I'm like, this guy's on the field
I feel like, get him off the field. I feel like he is the defensive version of Sean McVay. But remember, he was the tight end first. So he came from the offensive side of the ball. I'm sure he played some defense somewhere along the line in high school and college. But, you know, he knows. He's a full-on coach. You've seen interviews now. I've watched a bunch of interviews yesterday that he gave over the past few years. And you can just see that, you know, he is going to be a very good communicator. I think the fans are going to like him. I hope that, you know, he's so into this that when they do have the press conference, that he's not sweating or any of that crap. Like that he's, you know, I want him to wear like a t-shirt, you know, and I don't want him to wear a jacket.
I don't want him to wear any shirt, actually. I think that would be the way to be introduced.
But I actually like it. I think it's great. And I also said to a couple of my buddies, I said, guys, you know, this is the kind of guy that you'd want to play for. Like, as a player, as an ex-player who has watched him and who's listened to him and has watched his teams play, this is a guy that you want to play for. So that is all taken care of right now for the Jets. Now it's up to the Jets and Rob Saleh to go out and hire the right staff. And according to Kyle Shanahan, he's going to hire the right staff. He knows everybody in the league. He's been around. He knows who everybody is. He knows where the key elements are going to be for his coaching staff. And hiring a coach first, kind of like the Jacksonville Jaguars did, gives you a very, very big and deep coaching pool to start selecting coaches from.
Yeah, and Richard Sherman even, you know, he did tweet that out, you got a good one, but he also went into a more in-depth explanation about how great of a coach that Rob Saleh is, in the way that, you know, he lets you know when you're screwing up, but he doesn't belittle you at all. You can trust him. You want to play for him. You're inspired by him. And by the way, you know, the reason why I reference Richard Sherman, and Richard Sherman's been a controversial guy, Richard Sherman, for better or worse, tells the truth. For the most part, I would think, outside of that handshake debacle thing that he had on his resume,
the Adderall stuff.
That whole thing. But for the most part, he says what's on his mind. Like,
sure.
You know, and if he doesn't like a guy, he's not going to say something about it, or he may even trash a guy. He's just someone that I feel like you could pay attention to when things like this happen. So I know that Jet fans, when you put out that tweet the other day, were just thrilled with the idea of it. There was a guy waiting outside the facility taking pictures, hoping that Rob Saleh was going to be the head coach of the Jets, a Jet fan, positive Jet fan, or whatever the hell is, optimistic Jet fan on Twitter. The fan base is energized. We talk about the business side of things. And if you can't go out there and get someone that's a Hall of Fame coach, or, I mean, obviously Urban Meyer is going to play in Jacksonville, and you have to pick from the coordinator pool, you did about the best job possible from that business side of getting the team and the fan base excited.
I would think either this guy or Rob Daboll from the Bills.
Brian Daboll.
Brian Daboll from the Bills. Those would be the two guys that you would think. And for Brian Daboll, I would think that the Chargers are the job I got my eyes set on. And if I'm the Chargers, my eyes are set on Brian Daboll.
Yeah.
Simply just because of what he's been able to do with Josh Allen over the last 3 years. And they do have a super stud quarterback out there. And now you're talking about, you know, that to me makes a smart hire. Or Eric Bieniemy out there because of his success with Patrick Mahomes. So that would be very helpful whatever coach gets that job out there.
I mean, I've never been someone who, like, what if a guy turns down, like, UCLA, I'll say, like, that he'd rather stay in, like, Wichita State or something. I'll say, what are you doing? Take the challenge. Go out there and do it. And I normally say that. And I always say, don't turn down those big opportunities.
Right.
Go out there and get it. But with Eric Bieniemy and the Chargers, part of me is saying, go somewhere else. You don't want to have to be in the same division as Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs at this stage of his career. If you have another job, just think about maybe going somewhere else. Now, I understand he's got Justin Herbert and they got a great defense and you shouldn't think like that. But I think that would be, it's just tough, man, with that team and that
going
guy.
Going toe-to-toe with Andy Reid and
right.
Patrick Mahomes, man. But you got your own guy to do that.
I understand. That's the great thing about it.
That's why that job is so, so appealing.
Sure. And I would probably end up, if I were in Eric Bieniemy's life and someone he would talk to, which I'm clearly not, I would probably say still go and do it and take on the challenge, because you always should if you believe in yourself. But it's one of the only examples that actually comes into my mind, where it's like, you might want to avoid that situation out there in the AFC West.
I think there are two fan bases that, you know, went through hell and back this year, the Jaguars and the Jets.
Sure.
And my sense is that I'm not a Jaguar fan, but my sense is that both fan bases wake up this morning, the far majority of them feel like they got the right guy to run their franchise.
Well, Urban Meyer is a home run as long as he wants to coach for a little bit. I mean, he needs to be there for a couple of years. You can't have him show up, things are going well, then all of a sudden, I would rather be with my family. Oh, I don't know about my health, or I don't know if I want to coach again, and then he's gone. So, I mean, Urban Meyer on paper, with that franchise where it is, Trevor Lawrence, I mean, Shad Khan being able to give him whatever he wants, it looks great. But we all know that Urban Meyer does not stick around very long.
Did you see who he's thinking about as offense coordinator?
I didn't. I saw defensive coordinator Charlie Strong. I saw that.
Yeah.
I don't think I heard offensive coordinator.
Scott Linehan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, again, you know, you're going to get recycled guys. I don't think you're going to get.
That's not inspiring.
No, I know. I don't think you're going to get very many recycled guys here. In other words, if it's Mike LaFleur, this is a guy that's coming for his first time as an offense coordinator, a young guy bringing young ideas, fresh ideas, coming off of Kyle Shanahan staff. Obviously, his brothers had huge success with Aaron Rodgers up there in Green Bay.
Those guys made C.J. Beathard and Nick Mullins look like competent quarterbacks, by the way. And Kyle Shanahan needs to get some credit, but seriously, those guys played some impressive games, those other two quarterbacks.
100% they did. So that's what the Jets are getting. They're getting the next new young flow of coaches that seem to be coming here. I'm sure he'll hire a couple of experienced coaches in some other different capacity. But there's your defensive guy and there's your offensive guy. They've been working together out in San Francisco. They know each other. You got a general manager who hired his guy now that hopefully see the game the same way. And there's going to be continuity there. There's going to be a guy that's going to walk into that building. And you're going to know who the head man is.
Yeah.
There is not going to be any doubt in anybody's mind who the head man is. And that's a great thing. That's exactly what you want.
The big, bald, shiny head man. You know who he is.
That's right. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
According to John Morosi, the longtime baseball reporter, MLB Network, Fox Sports, MLB Network Radio, all that stuff. John Morosi. Source, DJ LeMahieu is finalizing an agreement.
With the Mets?
Two. Return to the New York Yankees.
Oh, God.
Returning to the New York Yankees.
Well, good for him.
The deal could be completed as soon as today. WFAN's breaking news brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Find out how far an extra mile really goes.
Man, things are happening fast and furious around here. You got the James Harden trade. You had the hockey open last night.
Don't forget about Lindor last
week. You got Lindor last week. You got Salah today. Or last night, and now you got this with DJ LeMahieu. Things are fast and furious in the world of sports around here.
Right. It makes me think
February
is going to be the deadest month we've ever had.
Man, there's going to be a lot to look forward to, man.
But
baseball's
going
to get started, and hopefully baseball will make this decision about the DH and tell us when they are starting. Like, we still have no idea when they're starting.
Right.
And now I know for a fact ownership wants to start later.
And the players want 162 to get paid.
And the players want to get paid 162 even if they only play 150 or 152.
Sure. So the Yankees had to sign DJ LeMahieu. And they did. So it was a little bit of agita, a little bit of nervousness.
Well, they haven't just yet. They're saying that they're going to.
I mean, when a guy like that, John Morosi, tweets it out that they're finalizing the deal,
I mean, with all the things happening around here, like what happened to the Yankees? Like, where have they been?
Well, they're back.
Oh, they're back now, yes. Yeah.
I wonder if all the back pages being stolen by the other teams in town had something to do with them maybe upping the offer.
Had to do with all of this was the fact that DJ LeMahieu was starting to engage some of the teams that did have interest initially. Like, he told his agent, go back and go see what these people really want to do. And if they really want to do something, at least we can get something going here with the Yankees and force them to do something.
Well, something is happening. All right, Jerry Recco is here. He's got an update. Good morning, Jerry.
Well, good morning. So the Jets got about 6 hours before the Yankees decided to do this. Holla for Sala, as we say. As it looks like the Jets,
for Sala.
They have decided on their next head coach. That's right. 49ers defensive coordinator Rob Sala is their new head coach. Kyle Shanahan, before this went down, certainly wanted to retain him out west.
Retain him out west, see, because he loved him. That's why he wanted to retain him. And it's a guy that he worked shoulder to shoulder with. He's someone he didn't want to lose. It's not one of these things like good riddance. Like, you know, you thought about Brian Schottenheimer maybe getting a head coaching job somewhere, and then it's like good riddance, and he wasn't going to get a head coaching job, so they fired him. It's like Jason Garrett, if he were to leave the Giants, you'd be like, even though Dave Gettleman said, I don't want to lose him, but if he left, he'd be like, not that big of a deal. The offense was in the bottom half of the league in every single category. But with this particular guy, Rob Saleh, you don't want to lose that guy off your staff, Jerry, right? You don't want to lose that guy. You want that guy to be on your staff forever, and I think that's, I'm sorry to interrupt you there, Jerry. I really didn't want to interrupt you, but I think that's what you were trying to say.
Yeah,
right?
Who cares? He wanted to stay in San Francisco. Guess what? He's coming here. He's coming to the Jets. And so, Urban Meyer's going to Jacksonville, so a lot of coaching news last night.
What I was trying to do there was buy some time for
Jerry.
I agree.
Because
there was a technical thing. I just want to let the listeners know I wasn't just losing my mind. I was just there. I was chewing some clock for you, man.
I do appreciate that. Then you got this story with the Eagles and Doug Peterson and Troy Aikman, who went on the Michael Irvin podcast. And so you've got all these headlines that say Troy Aikman says that Doug Peterson was fired because he wanted Jalen Hurts to play quarterback and not Carson Wentz. And I guess, Al, you can pick up the story here because I know you're eating your brownie. Pro Football Talk had the story, and Aikman, I guess, refuted that. Is that how you saw it?
Yeah, he tweeted out that that's not what he said, he didn't get specific.
So here's what he said, and it's what he thinks, essentially.
I don't have any insight, but what I gathered it came down to was a difference of opinion as to how they were moving forward at the quarterback position is what I sensed.
Now, what I didn't leave in there was he said he spoke to Peterson.
Oh, yeah, but he says, though, as he starts his comment,
I know that.
I don't have any insight.
Correct. The problem with that is what he says 3 seconds prior, that as soon as he got fired, he called Doug Peterson. And then he says, I don't have any insight. You just talk to him.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's ways you can dance around these things where you want to act like you don't know what's going on to help some people in your life, and then you can say things without really saying them. Troy Aikman.
I'm Boomer Esiason. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, Troy Aikman failed miserably in doing that.
Well, here was one other one from him.
Without having any understanding of what took place in that meeting, I think they said, well, there's a difference of opinion as to how they're going to go forward and correct this past season. I believe it all came down to how they were going to handle Carson Wentz.
But okay.
All right, so what does that mean? Does that mean that Doug Peterson wanted Carson Wentz or
no.
Doug Peterson wanted Jalen Hurts?
He's saying that, and to me, I thought it was the opposite. He's saying that tells me that Peterson wanted Hurts, and because of what the Eagles owe Wentz, they were saying, no, you're playing Wentz.
So strange, man. Then why draft Jalen Hurts when you drafted Jalen Hurts? Wasn't that sort of the insurance policy on Carson Wentz if things went south? But then again, all that money is there.
This is what you created when you drafted him.
Wow. Howie Roseman was a guy who needed to go, too. I mean, it seems like he really painted everybody in into a corner with this. But
and you know how we played those clips from the Philly, the Chicago reporters yesterday? And I probably should have done the same thing with Philly. The same thing with Lori last week. Every other question was about Howie Roseman. And he just kept backing
them. They were trying to get Howie Roseman fired. I mean, they were just going after him left and right.
It was very, very similar situation with all the draft pick failures and blah, 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 blah. On the warm-up show we did this morning, we were talking about the Steelers, and Al thought the offensive coordinator's name was a sphincter. but his name is Randy Fichtner, correct?
It's Fichtner is the way they say it.
Fichtner?
Yeah, Fichtner.
Wow, we were really close. You had sphincter and I had Fichtner.
Yeah.
And it's Fichtner.
They call him Coach Randy.
And I can see why.
And Coach Randy is like best friends with Ben Roethlisberger.
Right, and he was his quarterback coach for many years.
Yeah, we don't know if Ben is coming back next year.
Right.
Because he has a $41 million cap hit, and that's all got to be worked out if he is coming back. And if he is coming back, they didn't want him being coached by his buddy.
How about that?
Right, his buddy who is clearly pushed around by Ben. I mean,
right, that's the point.
It's just, and so if you look at the Steelers' assistants, it's been many years since anybody's wanted them off the staff. I mean, it's just basically, you know, Keith Butler, who was there under Dick LeBeau, and then Randy Fichtner, who got promoted after Todd Haley got fired. So it's just, there's not really any sort of like up and coming coordinators there.
And
it's very
Mike
stale.
Does Mike Tomlin take any of the responsibility?
Oh,
100%. For any of this?
Yeah, of course he does. But I don't think that.
In what way?
Well, I mean, the fact that I think that him walking away on his own terms as Steelers coach, like Bill Cowher did, is probably not the way that they feel about that this morning. Like, I think that you're probably on notice for the first time ever from the Steelers organization. And remember, it takes a lot for that to happen. They went Chuck Knoll.
It's like the Bengals. I know.
Bill Cowher, Mike Tomlin. And they would love for that coach to be able to walk away on his own terms because he's been so successful. I think going into next year, that whole attitude has changed. That's
where did you get a Bitcoin shirt from?
It was a drunk purchase. See, I like to drunk buy things. So I got on a weekend.
I just noticed that.
Oh yeah. So on this past weekend, I was sitting there and I was drinking. It was Friday, and it was before Bitcoin had sort of crashed a little bit. You know, it went down.
Sure,
you were still feeling good about it.
So yeah, it was like up over 40,000, right. And I was just like, man, like I'm really passionate about this Bitcoin. Let me see if there's any merch. So I like found something on like Etsy for like $20, and I had it sent to the house, and
look
it came
you.
Yesterday.
Well, you're at 38209 right now.
And you're always complaining about the Prime and FedEx trucks coming down your driveway.
Sure, but this was...
Doesn't it feel good, though, G, when it's for you?
Exactly. I was so excited when it showed up because I don't order a lot of things. You know, my wife doesn't even know what shows up. I didn't order anything. I'm like, yes, you did. I don't know what this is. She does this all the time. Like, something shows up. I don't know what this is. It's got to be for you. Definitely for you. And I open up. She says, oh, yeah, that's right. These are those bins I ordered for the thing. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's a new dog collar. I forgot about that. Yeah. So that happens all the time. Right, so when this showed up to the door, I was like a little kid. I was like, ah, I think that's my Bitcoin sweatshirt.
Okay.
Awesome. I'm going to wear it tomorrow.
That's
funny. I can't
wait. Well, good for you. It's up to over 38,000 again. Rams, Packers tomorrow. You got Jared Goff making the start for L.A. John Wolford been ruled out with a neck injury. Blake Bortles will be the backup tomorrow night. Ravens, Bills, and then Sunday, Browns and Chiefs on CBS. And you've got the Bucks and the Saints as well. Your boy Sean Marks spoke yesterday. Lengthy, too, about 30 minutes or so, 26, 27 minutes, something like that, video conference. And it's all about James Harden and the deal. He said he had to do it.
We have the opportunity here to add a franchise-level talent in James Harden who wants to be here, who wants to be part of this.
Good question came from, I forget her name, that ESPN reporter we talked about
Malika
yesterday.
Malika Andrews.
Yes. She basically, it was too long to play, but the premise of the question was, what exactly happened to that culture that you always spoke of?
A great question, and to be quite frank, I don't think anybody has the exact answer to that.
Okay.
I think, as I've said before, your culture's got to be constantly evolving.
Oh, okay, fair.
I'll tell you one thing. Kevin Durant is the culture.
That, you're right.
That's who the culture is. He's the guy, and he's the one that's going to bear the responsibility of these two nudniks on the other side. I mean, honestly, he's got to be the one that's going to be pushing them. You know,
you're right about that.
And again, he's the professional in the room. He's the adult in the room. He is the great basketball player. And he's going to be pushing these guys whenever and if Kyrie ever comes back, whatever his issues are. You know, it's going to be interesting to hear what he has to say as to why he took off. But, you know, you got to believe that Harden's going to be motivated. But again, it's going to come back to Kevin because Kevin's a star, man. Kevin is the real deal. He's a guy who loves ball. He loves playing it. It was taken away from him for 18 months. And these other two guys, you know, they better fall in line.
Yeah.
Right, some of these guys have been described, you know, especially Kyrie and James, as nudniks by the local media. I don't believe that they are. We are going to allow James, though, a week of partying before he shows up. He's got a couple of dates with Da Baby and Little Baby and some of the local clubs. And then when he's done partying with the babies, he will show up to camp and then get ready, and I'll introduce him to the guys.
So he was asked, when exactly does Kyrie play again?
Regarding Kyrie and when he'll be hopefully back and rejoining the team, you know, part of that is going to be up to the NBA, and we're waiting for them to come out with, so they're ruling on the health and safety protocols.
Because he was at the party without the mask on. Right. Now,
I've got no idea when the psychopath's coming back. You'd think I would as the general manager, but I got no clue. He's as mercurial and strange as anybody I've ever met in my life, and my entire future and legacy is tied to him. So how do you think I feel?
Well, here's the good news. He does want to play.
I have talked to Kyrie, so I know he's excited about getting back on the court with his teammates, you know, as soon as possible.
Here we go. How many chances does he get? Honestly,
33.
You know that the rope is long for Kyrie Irving. He's got a long. They have a long leash for these guys, and James Harden, and Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant. This is what they want.
I just don't
want to
know.
They want to make sure that they end up winning a championship, and they are going to give them the leeway to do that.
I want to know who is playing defense. I'd like to know that for my Rangers.
They're not. They're going
to
put up 140 points a game.
Who the hell is on the penalty kill? I want to know who is going to play defense.
Well, we'll do that in a second. I will tell you, though, that the Rockets, without James Harden, last night went out and beat the Spurs on the road 109-105. Christian Wood.
John Wall go off?
In what way?
I thought he went off
for points.
No. Like in comments towards.
Well, that's the James we play. Harden. I played them for you.
Yeah. No, we heard that already.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely
did. You do not
did.
Remember me playing that?
I thought it was DeMarcus Cousins you were playing.
No, I played John Wall.
Oh, it was John Wall. Okay.
I might be able to find it here, too, if you speak and give me a cover.
Yeah, I just thought that everybody just absolutely blistered him out of coming out of Houston.
Let's see.
Wasn't that right?
Well, yeah.
I know DeMarcus two guys, Cousins did, yeah.
Those two guys did. No, I mean, John Wall basically
Here's John Wall talking about the situation that they were in with Harden.
I've been on a team like that my first 5 years where it was all about me. Not about the team, and that hurts, and it brings everybody down.
And then he would say, we need to chill out, and this was in reference to Harden, too, I believe, because he talked after Harden did that night.
It's only been 9 games. Like, come on, man. You want to jump off the cliff off of 9 games? There's a lot of basketball still to be played.
And so those were the comments that kind of went viral, as they say. And DeMarcus Cousins, was it DeMarcus Cousins?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was him. He was also pretty pointed in his comments.
I think he was
well.
Actually more pointed. He basically said the disrespect that this guy has showed us since the beginning. I mean, not only just what he said about this team not being good enough and disrespecting us in that way, but showing up late, not trying hard enough, not practicing.
Maybe the team's not good enough because you're not trying hard enough and you're not practicing. And you're not being the $50 million leader you're supposed to be.
But he got what he wanted.
He got what he wanted.
That was the thing. Like he pissed off his teammates to the point where he made that situation so toxic that they couldn't continue. Now, they also got a massive haul back for him, and I don't think they would have traded him if they didn't get that type of deal back
for
the Nets.
Like that, it sounded like that locker room was toxic.
Well, of course
it was. The
whole
thing was toxic, and then he went nuclear. Right when he basically said the team stinks and we can't win, we're not good enough because they just came off a loss to the hand of the Lakers, and that was finally the final straw.
That was it, no doubt. Now this is not the final straw because it's only the first game.
Yeah.
But Boomer, if you were late getting to the TV set last night,
I wasn't.
Sorry,
DeAndre Miller. Put it in the Islanders' zone. Nick Leddy back for it,
and he had a heck of a chance when he got high stick. It was an excellent save.
Lee comes back in, a 2-on-1 develops, he shoots, he scores!
Yeah, he had 2 goals on the night, Anders Lee did. The first-place Islanders beat the last place.
Ding-dong!
Yeah, all right.
Who is it?
Matt Martin! Right, he was in the penalty box last night like normal. You know, the interesting thing is that Keandre Miller almost took off Anders Lee's head with a high stick. They didn't call that. That should have been a 4-minute power play on top of the other 8 power plays that they gave the Islanders last night. And the players, you know, look, it's opening night. Everybody has nerves. Keandre on the first pair with Jacob Trouba just did not look good. Jack Johnson looked awful. Shesterkin was nervous in the beginning. But then again, they have all these point-blank shots.
So, hey, good for the Islanders. They just basically looked like they did when they were in the bubble, and the Rangers, unfortunately, looked like they did when they were in the bubble.
So 4-0 the final last night of Varlamov with 24 saves, and the Devils wound up getting a point. They lost to the Bruins in a shootout 3-2. I was happy to see that Ty Smith had the game-tying goal in the third because he almost scored on his own goal in the first period. So,
oh, really?
Yes. They actually had a guy, I think P.K. Subban also almost scored on himself last night, but they do get a point. They lose to the Bruins, and so both these games will be repeated tomorrow as the Islanders play the Rangers again and the Devils take on the Bruins again.
All right, so if you missed it, DJ LeMahieu finalizing a deal with the New York Yankees, according to John Morosi.
And Sala, don't forget about him.
Right, and Rob Sala as well. And also, there's some more, if you want to keep the horns going there, Eddie. The Atlanta Falcons have made an offer to... You want to guess?
Eric Bieniemy.
No.
No.
Dan Reeves.
Imagine. Dirty Bird coming back. Dan Reeves at 90 years old.
The Artie Party.
The Artie Party is right. To Artie Party Arthur Smith to become their next head coach, according to Diana Russini of ESPN, who's a fan of the show, by the way.
Can you get Sal on?
Yeah, I mean.
There's no way he's gonna, he
likes his mind, that. Yeah, no, his mind is going to be blown.
Who is this now? Sure.
Sal Licata is a big Atlanta Falcons fan.
What?
Yeah. Always has been.
Really?
Always has been. Yeah.
Yep. Why?
No idea.
Yeah, I don't know how that started, actually. Deion maybe Sanders? Deion. Probably maybe Deion. Deion. Yeah, probably Deion. So there you go. Things are moving.
So Arthur Smith to the Falcons.
Yeah.
And Al spent a lot of time researching Arthur Smith last night, and he didn't come up with much.
Yes. Just was there with the Titans.
I could not find a picture of him where he did not look like a dullard.
I agree.
Al, so I didn't really even ask you. Are you all in on this Rob Sala thing?
Oh, very all in.
Boomer,
very
he was
excited.
Fired
buzz
up
or no
this
buzz,
morning.
Al.
Total buzz.
Lots total buzz, excited. Right.
Right. It's hard to get buzz with a coordinator like that, and they got it. They got it. Good for them.
Oh, we're going to have good luck tonight. I just spotted a bald man. Excuse me, bald man.
Great.
May I rub your head for good luck?
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
The New York Yankees bringing back, they're close to, John Morosi reporting, finalizing a deal with DJ LeMahieu to bring him back. Arthur Smith, the Artie Party, being hired by the Atlanta Falcons. And I also think, by the way, even though I don't know a thing about Arthur Smith outside of his dad being Fred Smith, who is the owner and CEO and the man who created FedEx.
Founder and chairman.
Yeah, founder and chairman of FedEx, yeah. And he was with the Titans there for a while. Well, he got hired, and that was the other guy that the Jets had in the building.
Yeah.
So far, the Jets brought in a guy, hired him himself. And then the next guy that they brought in has also been hired, so it seems like they were on the right track with what other teams were seeing as valuable head coach candidates. So we have a lot going on today.
I'm
going
to ask you a question.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to this.
Right.
You know, there's going to be a lot of angry people if there isn't an African-American or a number of African-American coaches being hired here in this cycle. And there are a number out there that are more than qualified, Eric Bieniemy being one of them.
Sure. Well, Eric Bieniemy, I still believe, will get hired.
And the thing about it is that, you know, Andy Reid has been as effusive about Eric Bieniemy as Kyle Shanahan has been about Rob Sala. I don't think Rob Sala is considered, you know, a minority candidate. I don't think so.
He is, actually. No, he is. He is. Yes, 100% he is. So much so that the San Francisco 49ers are getting those compensatory picks because someone off their staff who is a minority got a head coaching job.
Okay, so there you have it.
So it is, yeah, 100%. So that is that. I mean, I also think that Eric Bieniemy not getting a job last year and the criticism of the NFL and the general managers and the owners at that time and him coming back and then having a team that's 15-1 and being a part of that staff and not getting a job this hiring cycle, certainly there's going to be even louder criticism. But we're not done yet.
I know, we're not done yet.
And the Texans did, by the way, after initially not interviewing Bieniemy, have now requested to, I don't know if they've done it yet, interview Bieniemy. So there's still jobs open here.
But it's not just the coaches. It's the general managers.
There was an African-American general manager just hired.
Okay, good.
Detroit Lions.
Right, and that I didn't see that. So,
yeah.
You know, these are all things that, you know, are going to pop up, and they're going to be discussion points. And, you know, I just hope that Eric's turn comes.
So Brad Holmes was hired by the Lions.
Okay, where did he come from?
The Rams.
So he was in the Rams front office.
Right, he was in the Rams front office. He's now the Lions general manager, and he is a black general manager for the Lions.
Okay, good. So who Denver hired who as a general manager? They hired that guy George Patton.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, off the Vikings staff.
Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, just so you know, every team gets a list of qualified candidates that the NFL puts together with a group of ex-GMs and coaches and people like that. And that list is what gets circulated. And that's, you know, then all of a sudden the hiring cycle starts and then the agents get involved. And, you know, that's when you start getting all this news like we're getting now.
So how many jobs still open? The Texans job, the Eagles job,
the Lions job,
the Chargers job. Those are four
I got to believe, and I got to believe that Brian Daboll is going to be up for one of them. Eric Bieniemy is going to be up for one of them.
So you got four still available. Am I missing any? The Jaguars were filled, Jets were filled, Falcons are filled.
Assuming that Arthur Smith takes that job, which I believe he will.
Yeah, I mean, why would you turn that down if you're Arthur Smith, right? I don't know, unless he's got another offer from the Chargers. But that is interesting, that Fred Smith stuff. I didn't know anything about Fred Smith.
We've reported that 1,000
times. Well, I didn't know. I mean, did you know that, Al, about Fred Smith, the FedEx guy being his dad?
A number of people had tweeted it to me.
And how, when, though?
The last couple of days when his name was circulated.
So it was just one of those things that just got into
your world. I wonder, like if he goes to the Falcons, did he get, like, free shipping and stuff?
Oh, jeez. Let's go to the calls. Let's go to Bill in Georgia, Canton, Georgia. What's going on, Bill?
Good morning, guys.
What's happening, Bill?
First-time caller. So, been listening to you, and I just want to give you a little compliment. Your program, since I get up and do my business and get on my computer, has become my go-to program just for the calmness of it.
Oh, wow.
In terms of just what's out there in terms of programs, whether sports or just a regular, like, daytime morning program, because with the way they gin up news so much, even on the sports program, it becomes a contentious. You just can't stand it.
Yeah, there's no screaming and yelling going on here.
No, never.
We all get along. But there is.
But it's done in a calmness and a lightness that doesn't make it like it's like some, like I don't feel like there's something blood curdling going to happen. You know,
keep listening and watching because it will.
Right. And I get you on TV, on cable. So I watch it while you're in the studio and I just put it on. And as I do it, I listen to the issue. I'm a rabid Jet fan.
Awesome. So
you like the hire?
I think it's the greatest hire in the world. I can't tell you how it fits so perfectly. By the way, I'm of the camp. I want Darnold to stay. I think the best move, especially since now they got that offensive coordinator off that staff, LaFleur.
Yeah.
I like that. I mean, I don't think he would have taken him along if it wasn't a bad. He's a hard-nosed. Look, Boomer, you know. This guy's a hard-nosed football, you know, like a junkyard dog that played football going back.
He's a lifer. He loves the game. He appreciates the game. And he's actually gone through every single level to get where he is, which is something that I really appreciate. It's not being handed to some retread, you know, that I don't believe is worthy of a job like this. I think it takes a young guy with a lot of energy, a lot of personality,
and a guy that's basically, like we keep saying, is going to walk into the building and everybody's going to know who's in charge. That's good.
Let's go to Mike in Mahwah. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up? What do you got for us?
I'm fired up. I love this hiring. This guy, I think he's going to bring some energy. I'm tired of watching the Jets, and when they're not, they go to the sideline, and you got two guys, Bowles and Gates. Nobody cares. This guy's got some energy. I like it, and I hope they keep Darnold, just like the other caller said. I think if they run a fast tempo offense, I think Darnold can pick apart defenses. I think he's very smart. I'm pumped. I'm excited for next year.
Well, that's great, Mike, and I'm sure the Jets are excited to hear you say that. If anybody in the organization is listening and driving into the facility, you got one guy saying, I'm fired up for the Jets. This is awesome. It's the opposite of the other two guys. The other one down in Georgia is a displaced New Yorker, big Jet fan, saying that it's the greatest hire in the world. This is exactly what you want.
Well, what did I tell you about when I put the tweet out?
Oh, yeah, people loved it.
And I put out Rob's bio. And I said, do you want this guy for your next head coach? And I'm telling you, it was 99-1, yes. And I mean, yes, emphatically, not like, oh, well, I guess that will be okay. That'd be great. I mean, there were people that were just, you know, sending me all sorts of memes and everything. And it was apparent to me that the Jet fan would be happy with this hire.
That's when you know things are serious. When memes are sent, things are getting really serious.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.